ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، the subject of taqwa, which I chose for the lecture tonight, is a subject that is needed by every one of us. No, I'm okay. No. It's needed by every one of us. And no one can claim that he has attained a level that he is beyond needing taqwa. And it is of such important need for us, for me and you and everyone, that I feel that we often undermine it or do not give it the proper importance that it needs to be given. So because of this, I thought that it would be a most appropriate thing to discuss this taqwa and to try to learn or remind about things related to it, so that we revive it a little bit in our hearts, and so that our deeds, inshallah, will be more based on taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word taqwa, we hear it very frequently in our, and we say it in our speeches. And Allah Azza wa Jal repeated it many times in His book. And in the introductory speech, which is called Khutbat al-Haja, you hear the mention of taqwa several times, as was the reported from the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to mention three ayat from three different surah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Al-Nisa, and Surah Al-Ahzab, in which there is mention of taqwa. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih. O you who believe, revere Allah, the correct reverence, or have taqwa of Allah, the proper way. Ya ayyuha an-nasu ittaqu rabbakum. O people, have taqwa of your Lord. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. O you who believe, revere Allah, have taqwa of Allah, and say good or correct words. So it is repeated so many times because of its importance. Otherwise Allah would not tell us about it, and would not have commanded us again and again to acquire it and to maintain it in ourselves. So since taqwa appears to be, or seems to be, of such great importance, then we need to know what it is. We need to learn some about it. And otherwise, as you will hear in a little bit, we will be doing ourselves a great injustice if there's something important like taqwa, but we do not know what it is. and we do not know how to achieve it, then what is the benefit of knowing that there is taqwa? And what are we benefiting us with in that regard? Nothing. So we really need to learn about taqwa and how to attain and achieve taqwa, because it is one of the most important things for us. And this is the subject of this talk. First of all, what is the meaning of taqwa in the Arabic language? I mean, it's really very hard to translate the word taqwa to English. As you see, sometimes they translate it as fearing. So, have taqwa of Allah, fear Allah. Sometimes they translate it, as you heard me, as revere Allah. And revere doesn't mean really, doesn't have a lot of the meaning of fear. It means more like respect. And sometimes they say, it says be aware of Allah. But awareness of Allah is of different levels, and they do not reflect, many of them, the true meaning of taqwa. So it is best to use the word taqwa after defining it and explaining it. But as much as we can, we will try to cover the meaning of taqwa, and then when we sometimes translate some other words as a taqwa into some other words or use some other words, we should realize that this is not the full meaning of taqwa. So when we say have taqwa of Allah, we translate it fear Allah, we should realize that this is not the full meaning. So taqwa in the Arabic language is al-hifzu wal-wiqayatu wal-wiqa'. Hifz means safeguarding or protecting, and the same for wiqaya, sheltering. Wal-wiqa', same thing. So taqwa means to shelter or protect something. That's the original meaning of the word taqwa. And in the Shara, in the Islamic understanding, it is defined as اتقاء سخط الله وعذابه بامتثال المأمور واجتناب المحظور. Taqwa is defined as, let me write it in Arabic first, اتقاء سخط الله وعذابه بامتثال المأمور واجتناب المحظور. Which means, اتقاء means protecting against, سخط الله وعذابه, the wrath and punishment or torment of Allah, protection against Allah's wrath and torment, just to make it a little shorter. Protection against Allah's wrath and torment, how? بامتثال المأمور واجتناب المحظور, by abiding by the commands and avoiding the prohibitions. This is one of the encompassing definitions of taqwa. Protection against Allah's wrath and torment. That's what taqwa. But how do we do that? By abiding by the commands, which means Allah's commands, and avoiding the prohibitions, which means the things that Allah prohibited. That's the definition of taqwa. And we will see from the statement of the scholars other definitions that all revolve around this same definition or meaning. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab, in his book, Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, says, تقوى العبد لربه أن يجعل بينه وبينه ما يخشاه من غضبه وسخطه وعقابه وقاية أن يجعل بينه وبين ما يخشاه من غضبه وسخطه وعقابه وقاية تقيه من ذلك. For a servant to have taqwa of Allah, he says, it is that he would put between himself and what he fears of Allah's punishment and anger and wrath, put between him and that a protection to protect him from that. So here is the servant. This is picture for the kids. This is the servant, so that you understand what taqwa is. And here are things that one fears from Allah. What are they? Let's call here wrath. Wrath is the same as anger. Allah becomes very angry, very displeased with someone. Okay? Or anger. Or punishment and torture. So we fear all of these, right? We are afraid that Allah would be wrathful or angry with us, or that He would punish us, right? We are afraid of this happening to us. So what can we do to protect ourselves from that? We put something here to protect us, a barrier, a wall, a protection, so that these things do not come to us, they do not reach us. Okay, so this is what he is saying, that taqwa al-abdi li rabbi an yaj'ala baynahu wa bayna ma yakhshahu min ghadabihi wa sakhatihi wa iqabihi wiqayatan taqihi min zalik. What is this barrier? What is this wall? What is this made of? It is wahuwa fi'lu ta'atihi wa ijtinabu ma'asihi. This is what we said here. It is by doing what He commanded, what Allah commanded us, and avoiding what He prohibited us. So if we do what Allah commanded us, and we avoid what He prohibited for us, then we have by that placed a wall, a barrier, a protection to protect us from the wrath and punishment of Allah. And also he says, the Hafiz Ibn Rajab, he says, فَإِذَا أُضِيفَتْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. When you say تَقْوَى اللَّهِ, have taqwa of Allah, فَالْمَعْنَى اِتَّقُوا صَخَطَهُ وَغَضَبَهُ. That means beware of his anger and punishment and things like that. وَهُوَ عَظَمُ مَا يُتَّقَى. And that is the greatest thing that you need to protect yourself from. There's nothing more serious than the anger of Allah. Right? Now if you are told that you have two options, that your teacher will be angry with you or Allah will be angry with you, which one of the two is easier? Which one of them is more serious and scary? The anger of Allah. Why? Because when Allah is angry with someone, He can do many things to destroy him. The teacher, maybe he'll give you a low grade or something like that. But Allah Azza wa Jal could destroy you totally if, wal'iyadu billah, you disobey Him. And we know how he destroyed whole towns and villages and nations. And we know how on the Day of Judgment He will be punishing people severely in the hellfire because of their disobedience. So the anger of Allah is the most serious thing to be afraid from. So that's why he says, وَهُوَ أَعْظَمُ مَا يُتَّقَى. So when he says تَقْوَى اللَّهُ means fearing and trying to protect from the anger of and punishment of Allah. And this is the greatest thing and the most serious thing to protect against. وَعَنْ ذَلِكَ يَنْشَأُ عِقَابُهُ الدُّنْيَوِي وَالْأُخْرَوِي. This wrath and anger of Allah, this brings about Allah's punishment in this life and in the hereafter. Why does Allah punish some people? It is because He's angry with them. Why He punishes someone in this life? Why sometimes when we commit a sin, we see that Allah punished us for that sin? Sometimes we see it, sometimes we are blind, we do not see it. But there is no problem that happens to us, we should realize this, no problem that happens to us, but it is because of our shortcomings in disobedience, in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this means that Allah became angry with us and He punished us. But sometimes the punishment is very great, like when He punishes the disbelievers in this life. Do you know of some person that Allah punished very, very much in this life? Yes, smart. One of the kuffar that Allah punished very severely. Okay, what did He do to him?
He closed the sea on him.
Exactly, Fir'aun or Pharaoh. He closed the sea on him, so he drowned him and drowned all of his soldiers with him. That was the punishment of Allah in this life. And is this the end of it? No. They are also punished in their graves. النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. So the fire, they are exposed to it evening and morning, morning and evening in their graves. ويوم تقوم الساعة, and when the hour comes, which means the last day, أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب, admit the followers of Fir'aun, Fir'aun and his followers, into the most severe punishment, the most painful punishment. So you see, when Allah is angry with someone, He punishes him. And the punishment is in this life, and punishment is in the hereafter. So, وَعَنْ ذَلِكَ, which means the anger of Allah, يَنْشَأُ عِقَابُهُ الدُّنْيَوِي وَالْأُخْرَوِي, results his worldly and worldly punishment and the punishment in the hereafter. As Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ, which means Allah warns you against Himself, warns you from Himself. Allah is warning us, telling us, beware of me, beware of disobeying me. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ, and He is the one who deserves the most to be to have taqwa of, to have protection against His anger. هُوَ أَهْلُ التَّقْوَى وَأَهْلُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. He is the one who is most worthy of taqwa, and He is the one who most awarding of maghfirah or forgiveness. So sometimes when we say taqwa from Allah. And sometimes when the word taqwa is used, it is used in relationship to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or something that Allah created. Like when Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, which means have taqwa of the fire that has as fuel people and rocks. So here he's saying, have taqwa of the fire. And the fire is something that Allah created, so it reflects the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or he says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Beware of a day, or have taqwa of a day, when you will be returned to Allah. And he says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. And beware of a day when no soul will be able
to protect or to do anything for the benefit of any other soul. Okay, now the complete taqwa, as you will see when we start to, getting deeper into the levels of taqwa, the taqwa, now this is still from the words of Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab, he says, وَيَدْخُلُ فِي التَّقْوَى الْكَامِلَةِ فِعْلُ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرْكُ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَالشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَدْ يَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكِ فِعْلُ الْمَنْدُوبَاتِ وَتَرْكُ الْمَكْرُوهَاتِ. What he's saying is that under the complete taqwa, under the meaning of complete meaning of taqwa, comes fi'l al-wajibat, doing the obligations, wa tarku al-muharramati wash-shubuhat, and avoiding prohibited things as well as doubtful things. So this is again what says here, but in addition we see avoiding the prohibitions and the doubts. If you are in doubt about a certain matter, stay away from it, because as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever, woman, waqa'a fi shubuhat, waqa'a fi haram, whoever falls into shubuhat, into doubts, he will soon fall into haram, into prohibitions. وَقَدْ يَدْخُلُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَعْلُ الْمَنْدُوبَاتِ وَتَرْكُ الْمَكْرُوهَاتِ. In addition to that, they could come under that meaning of taqwa also, doing the recommendations and avoiding the disliked or disapproved things. And by disapproved, it means makruh, it means something that is not prohibited in Islam, but it is better not to do it. So the one who has complete taqwa will even avoid those things. And the one who has complete taqwa would do the recommended things, or as much as he can of the recommended things, even if they were not obligations. Okay, now Ibn Qayyim also discusses the taqwa, as you might expect, in various places of his writings actually. And Ibn Taqwa is one of the best authors to talk about taqwa. There is a good discussion of taqwa in his book Risala Tabukiya, which we translated to English as The Magnificent Journey. So in that place, in that book, he says, Haqiqatu Taqwa, Ibn Qayyim is saying, Haqiqatu Taqwa, العمل بطاعة الله إيمانا واحتسابا أمرا ونهيا. It's not very good. We need to wet it a little bit. Just a little bit, not too much. So he says, the reality of taqwa is العمل بطاعة الله, to act by obedience or upon obedience to Allah. العمل بطاعة الله إيمانا واحتسابا. Maybe this is a permanent marker. Check it. Maybe it says permanent marker. Is it? Ajeeb. Well, it's mixed. Maybe they mixed it with some alcohol. That's okay. These are different. These are better. So we use these. It's a different brand, right? No, actually they are the same. Same thing. He says, Ibn Qayyim says, حقيقة التقوى العمل بطاعة الله إيمانا واحتسابا. العمل بطاعة الله إيمانا واحتسابا. أمرا ونهيا. أمرا ونهيا. فيفعل ما أمر الله به إيمانا بالأمر وتصديقا بالوعد ويترك ما نهى الله عنه إيمانا بالنهي وخوفا من الوعيد. العمل بطاعة الله إيمانا واحتسابا. Now this word, إيمانا واحتسابا. Two words. He tells later on what إيمانا and احتسابا means. He says that إيمان is مبدأ العمل مبدأ العمل والباعث عليه أن يكون محض الإيمان. لا العادة والهوى وال what do you call it, الرياء وحب الرئاسة إلى آخره. احتسابا غاية العمل أن تكون ابتغاء ثواب الله ومرضاته. So he says that تقوى is العمل بطاعة الله إيمانا واحتسابا. It is to act in obedience to Allah or to do acts of obedience to Allah. So it means acting العمل بطاعة الله in obedience to Allah with إيمان and احتساب. With إيمان and احتساب. Acting in obedience to Allah with إيمان and احتساب. That's what Ibn Qayyim says. أمرا ونهيا. Both in regard to commands and prohibitions. See these two words in Arabic, very little compact words. You have to put so much in translation of them in English. Both in regard to commands and prohibitions. In regard to, in Arabic, it's all you need is to put the alif with two fatha on it to give you that meaning. Amran. Amran wa nahya. Both in regard to commands and prohibitions. So, acting in obedience to Allah with iman and ihtisab, both in regard to commands and prohibitions. Now what he says further, explaining later on what iman means, explaining this definition, he says iman is like, he says everything needs a starting point and it needs a goal. Everything needs a starting point and a goal. And this is like what you learned probably as the first theorem probably in geometry, that you need two points to draw a line, a straight line. So you need a starting point and an ending point. You need an initial point and a goal for everything. So he says, the iman is the starting point, and the ihtisab is the goal. So he says, thus it means that with iman means that مبدأ العامل والباعث عليه محض الإيمان. That the initiator of the work, of the deed, and the thing that compels you to do it is محض الإيمان, pure إيمان. You do it just because of your إيمان. That's what it means. So when you obey Allah, it is because you believe in this act, this or that act of obedience. محض الإيمان. لا العادة. It's not because it is your habit and custom to do it, or hawa, desires compel you to do that, or showing off, or loving to be in power, or things like that. That's not what you do something, but you do it for with iman. And the second thing, ihtisab. Ihtisab is the goal. غَايَةُ الْعَمَلِ ابْتِغَاءُ ثَوَابِ اللَّهِ وَمَرْضَاتِهِ. Why you do the act of obedience, ta'at Allah, ابْتِغَاءَ ثَوَابِ اللَّهِ وَمَرْضَاتِهِ. Seeking by that the reward and pleasure of Allah. Seeking Allah's rewards and pleasure. So that's the goal of the deed. The goal is ihtisab. Is ihtisab means expecting and looking forward to get the reward for what we do from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that there are many examples. I think it would be good if we again open the door a little bit to make it clear. I don't know. There are many ahadith or a number of ahadith which mention iman and ihtisab. Like, for example, من صام إيمان رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever fasts Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, his previous sins are forgiven. So this is what iman and ihtisab are. Iman is the thing that compels you to do the deed, and ihtisab is the reward that you expect out of that deed. So what Ibn Qayyim is saying is that taqwa is al-amal bi ta'ati Allah imana wa ihtisaba amran wa nahya. That you act in obedience to Allah with iman and ihtisab, ihtisab both in cases of a command or a prohibition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he adds, فَيُفْعَلُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ إِيمَانًا بِالْأَمْرِ وَتَصْدِيقًا بِوَعْدِهِ. Thus, one would do what Allah commanded him to do, believing in the commands, out of faith in the commands, and تَصْدِيقًا بِوَعْدِهِ, and believing in his promises, in Allah's promises. Also, وَيَتْرُكُ مَنَهَا اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِيمَانًا بِالنَّهِي وَخَوْفًا مِنْ وَعِيدِهِ. And he also, one would then, if he has taqwa, would avoid, would abstain from what Allah prohibited. Why? Why would you, what's your name over there? Next to Arsalan?
Jameel.
Arsalan.
Jameel
next to you? So I want to ask you, I'm asking a question. What? Why would you avoid something that Allah prohibited? Huh? Arslan. Arslan? Yeah. Why? When you avoid something that Allah prohibited, why would you do it? Yeah. So, are you afraid of something when you do not do haram? What would you be afraid of? Allah, which means His punishment, right? So we avoid doing wrong things, fearing the punishment of Allah. So we avoid what Allah prohibited, fearing His punishment. Then he says, كَمَا قَالَ طَلْقُ بْنُ حَبِيبٍ. He says, as Talq bin Habib said. What did Talq bin Habib say? إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ فَأَطْفِئُوهَا بِالتَّقْوَى. When the fitna arises, extinguish it with taqwa. What's the meaning of fitna? Now if you don't stop playing with that thing, I'll take it and play with it myself. What's the meaning of fitna, huh? Tribulation. Huh?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Fitna. Fitna means anything, any test, any trial that happens to the people. Like, for example, fighting. Fighting between the Muslims. Is that a fitna or not? Or is it fun? It's fitna because the blood of Muslims will be shed. And they will be talking about each other, backbiting each other and so on. So he's saying if there's fitna, and he's referring mostly to such kind of fitna, which happens between the Muslims, then extinguish it by taqwa. How can you end the fitna? If everyone has taqwa, there will be no fitna. Right?
Yeah.
Right, Ya Jameel?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that? If there is taqwa, there will not be fitna. Why? Okay, somebody else. Does anybody else know? Okay. Right. Yeah, because you'll be avoiding everything Allah prohibited if we have taqwa. And then we will not be backbiting, we will not have bad and ill thoughts about our brothers, we will not mistrust them, we will treat them as a Muslim is supposed to treat his brother. So if everyone, every Muslim does that, there'll be no problem among them. So if there's fitna, he's saying, extinguish it with taqwa. Pour over it some taqwa. And what will happen to it? It will die. Like you pour water on fire. Or you pour the fire extinguisher fluid over fire. That will extinguish it. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ فَأَطْفِئُهَا بِالتَّقْوَى قَالُوا وَمَا التَّقْوَى. So they asked this scholar of the Salaf, what is taqwa? What do you mean by taqwa? And he said, أَنْ تَعْمَلَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ ترجو ثواب الله وأن تترك معصية الله على نور من الله تخاف عقاب الله. He said it is to act in obedience to Allah with light from Allah or upon light from Allah, seeking by that or hoping in that to get the rewards from Allah. And also it is to avoid disobeying Allah with a light from Allah, fearing what? Fearing what, Ya Hamza? Yes, Ya Muaz. Fearing, no, but what is in this hadith? You are correct, but you are right, but here. It says, وَأَنْ تَتْرِكُ مَعْصِيَةَ اللَّهِ عَنُّ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَخَافُ وَعِقَابَ اللَّهِ. Fearing the punishment of Allah. Fearing Allah's punishment. Right. So he says Ibn Qayyim, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَحْسَنِ مَا قِيلَ فِي التَّقْوَى. He says this is among the best definitions of taqwa. And as you see, it's not much different from what we have covered so far. فَقَوْلُهُ, Ibn Qayyim continues, فَقَوْلُهُ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَى الْأَصْلِ الْأَوَّلِ. He's saying عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, upon, with light from Allah, it points to the first basis, which is Iman. Iman. وَقَوْلُهُ تَرْجُوا ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ is pointing to the second fundamental, which is احتساب. إشارة إلى الأصل الثاني والاحتساب. This is from رسالة التبوكية. نعم. Question? Is what?
Sinning.
Singing is, well, this is a long discussion actually. I don't want to get into it now. It'll take us out of the subject. But there is a discussion of singing in, it's not here, the book on, the green book on marriage, The Quest for Love and Mercy. So inshallah you can read some of that there. Like when you are allowed to sing and what kind of singing and who are the ones who sing, men or women, and in which situations and things like that. But if you're asking about music, music is haram. Okay, good. A alim of the recent times, Nu'man bin Mahmud al-Alusi, rahimahullah, said, وَفِي تُحْفَةِ الْإِخْوَانِ التَّقْوَى امْتِثَالُ الْأَوَامِرِ وَاجْتِنَابُ النَّوَاهِي. He says that he is quoting from somebody else in a book called Tuhfat al-Ikhwan. He said, At-taqwa, imtithal al-awamiri wa ijtinab al-nawahi. Taqwa is to abide by the commands and avoid the prohibitions. وَلَهَا ثَلَاثُ مَرَاتِبٍ and it has three levels. Now we will get into this in more detail in a very little bit, very, very shortly. The first level is, which is the lowest level actually, the first level of taqwa is التوقي من العذاب المخلد أو المخلد بالتبري من الشرك. As Allah says, وعزمهم كلمة التقوى, which means to avoid the permanent or eternal punishment in the hellfire, and that is by purifying oneself from shirk. If somebody does not have shirk in his heart, even if he committed all sorts of sins in his life, major and minor, he will eventually go into Jannah. But that doesn't mean that he will not be punished before that. He may be punished long ages in the hellfire. Okay, why don't you come and sit here, Ya Arsalan, so that we can ask you the questions easier, and you can answer them easier as well. So, what is the lowest level of taqwa? Anybody remembers what we said about the lowest level of taqwa? It is just to do the bare minimum to guarantee to enter Jannah at some point, even if that is preceded by long punishment in the hellfire. That's the lowest level of taqwa. Then the next level of taqwa, تجنب كل ما يؤثم من فعل أو ترك. To avoid everything that causes a person to be embraced by sin, branded by sin, sorry. Whether it is an action or an avoidance of something. حتى الصغائر عند قوم. Which means to avoid, to do all what is required and to avoid all what we are not supposed to do. Everything haram, not to do it. Everything good, to do it. Everything that we are commanded to do, to do it. As we said here, acting both in commands and prohibitions. So do what we are commanded, avoid what's prohibited. حَتَّى الصَّغَائِرُ عَنْدَ قَوْمٍ. According to some of the scholars, they say even, this applies even to the minor sins. وَهُوَ الْمُتَعَارَفُ بِالتَّقْوَى فِي الشَّرَعِ. And this is what is usually referred to as taqwa in shara, in the statements of Islam and so on. Or when Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And had the people of the villages, of the towns, had belief and taqwa, we would have opened for them blessings from the heavens and earth. So this taqwa is the taqwa that is normally referred to when speaking about taqwa. Okay? So when somebody has an atom weight or a grain weight of iman in his heart, but he is a full sinner, he drinks alcohol, he gambles, he steals, he kills, he does every haram thing, but he has some iman in his heart, very tiny amount of iman, we never say about him that he has taqwa. Nobody says, MashaAllah, I saw a person with taqwa today. Rather, we say the contrary. We say he doesn't have taqwa. We don't see that he doesn't appear to have any taqwa. Okay? So taqwa is not usually applied to this kind of people, but it's applied to other kinds of people that are described in the second level that we mentioned. And then the third level, he says, أَن يَتَنَزَّهَ عَمَّا يَشْغُلَ سِرَّهُ عن الله تعالى. That the highest level of taqwa, it is that one would stay away from, or exalt himself from being involved in anything that would take his heart away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهذه هي التقوى الحقيقية. And this is the reality of taqwa. This is the true taqwa المطلوبة بقوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. That is referred to in Allah's saying, or what means, all you who believe have taqwa of Allah the right way, and do not die except as Muslims. And Ibn Umar said, we will also see much more statements in this regard. Ibn Umar said, أَلَّا تَرَى نَفْسَكَ خَيْرًا مِّنْ أَحَدٍ. Taqwa, this level of taqwa, it is that you would not think that you are better than anyone else. You would not look to yourself as being better than anyone else. What does that mean? Can somebody explain to me before I explain it to see if we agree? أَلَّا تَرَى نَفْسَكَ خَيْرًا مِّنْ أَحَدٍ. That you will not consider yourself better than anyone else. What does this mean? You would not consider yourself better than anyone else. Yeah. So exactly. So you should have humbleness, and you should not be arrogant about yourself and think that, mashallah, I am better than all these people. I have taqwa, I have iman, and these people are nothing compared to me. No, it should be the other way around. Like it is reported about many of the Salaf, that they used to say that, I don't think that there is anybody in this masjid worse than me. And there is nobody more sinful than me. And there is nobody, and if they knew about me as I know about myself, they would not talk to me. They would spit in my face. That is how they used to look at themselves. It doesn't mean that when you see a sinner, a drunkard, or a thief, or something like that, you say he is better than me. That's not what it means. It means when comparing yourself in the good deeds to others, don't assume and take for granted that my deeds are better than everybody else's deeds. No. Always have doubts about myself, that I have so many shortcomings. I know about my weaknesses more than other people know. I know how bad I am. I know how sinful I am. And I only ask Allah for forgiveness. So when one has this kind of humbleness, then maybe at that point he is approaching the position or level of taqwa. Okay. Now we go more deeply into the levels of taqwa. Levels of taqwa. We saw how Al-Alusi defined them, and now we will talk a little more about that by saying, and again we'll mention, but we, instead of the three levels he mentioned, we will divide the levels into four. And the first of these levels, you see there is much overlap now between what we say and what he said. The first level of taqwa, اتِّقَاءُ الْخُلُودِ فِي النَّارِ بِالْإِقْرَارِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَتَصْدِيقِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If a person has confessed to Tawheed and believes in the Prophet, in Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in what he came with, مع التفريط في الواجبات والتلبس بالمخالفات, but at the same time he does not fulfill the obligations or many of them, and he commits many acts of disobedience, such a person is in the level, lowest level of taqwa. وهذا أدنى الدرجات ولا يستحق اسم المتقي بإطلاقه. This person is at the lowest level in taqwa, and he doesn't deserve actually the title of taqwa, that he has taqwa.
Repeat that
such a person, he is at the lowest level of taqwa, and he does not deserve to be described as a muttaqi, a person with taqwa. Okay, as we described earlier. The second level is اتِّقَاءُ الْكُفْرِ وَكَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ وَالْمُدَاوَمَةُ عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ وَفِعْلِ الْوَاجِبَاتِ, which means that a person would avoid kufr, disbelief, and would avoid major sins, and he would be consistent in doing the obligations, the obligatory deeds and acts of obedience, wa ta'a. ما عدم التورع عن الصغائر أو الإكثار من النوافل. But at the same time, if a person does that, but he does not refrain from committing smaller sins, minor sins, as they call them, صغائر. He does not refrain from صغائر. And he does not do a lot of nawafil, of voluntary deeds. Voluntary prayer, voluntary sadaqah, other voluntary acts of worship, like visiting the sick, visiting the Muslims, going in with the funerals, etc., etc., as is mentioned in the sunnah. Then, if he does not do a lot of that, or he does not do that, he just does the obligations and stays away from the major sins, but he does not do anymore, and he commits some of the minor sins, then فهذا أقرب للنجاة وهذا غير كاف لأن الوقوع في الصغائر والمداومة عليها يجر إلى الكبائر. He says this is better than the previous level, of course, but it is not enough. It is not enough because when a person commits the minor sins and he is consistent in doing that, تجرأ على الكبائر, he will be daring, he will have more courage and daring to commit the major sins eventually. كما أن نوافل الطاعات واجتناب الشبهات والمكروهات تكمل الأعمال. Also, since he doesn't do any voluntary deeds, then he does not have a means of completing his obligations, because no one of us does any obligation in perfection. We always have a lot of imperfection our deeds, in prayer, in sadaqah, in fasting, in many other acts of worship. So if we do not do voluntary deeds to make up for the shortcomings, for the shortage in our obligatory deeds, then our deeds will not be complete. Somebody again, would you please open the door a little bit? Jazakallah khair. So this is the second level. The third level of which is the third, the higher level of taqwa is al-ijtihad fi tark adh-dhunub kulliha sigharaha wa kibariha wal-ijtihad fi at-ta'at kulliha al-wajibat wan-nawafil mimma yaj'alu baynahu wa bayna al-kaba'ir junnah. That level is that a person would do all the obligations and avoid all the prohibitions, whether it's small or big. Okay, whether it's small or big. And he will do voluntary deeds, a lot of voluntary deeds. So this is a much better level. Which will put between him and the major sins a protection. Junnah, as we saw in the case of the diagram that I drew earlier, and that we could not fully erase, that there is a barrier between the person and kabair in that case. So when a person, when there are major sins, again here is the person. This is a different figure. It's similar to it, but it's different. So the major sins, it's related to it, because the major sins mean the anger of Allah. If a person commits the major sins, that leads directly to the anger and punishment of Allah. So to protect against the major sins, one needs to put a barrier here. And this barrier is put there by, in addition to doing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions, it is to do the voluntary deeds. Do more prayer, more sadaqah, more fasting, and more other acts of obedience. Then, inshallah, that will establish a barrier between the person and the major sins. Whereas, as we said before, if a person has committed smaller sins, let's change the color. Okay, these are small sins, right? And here are major sins. If you have these small sins, he says these are small, they are not important. But these small sins, what will they do here? Ya Mu'az, what will these small sins do? Turn this way. What will they do? They will make a hole, a big hole in this barrier. And they will take him to the major sins. So the small sins will lead to the major sins. But if the person avoids the small sins and does a lot of the good deeds, then he will have protection against the major sins. And he gives him also a certain account. He put in his account a certain amount of good deeds that he will need, of course. And such a person deserves the name of muttaqi. The person who does not do this and who does these, then he is muttaqi, he has taqwa. So you can say that this person is a muttaqi. And then the fourth and best level of taqwa, it is al-ijtihadu fil wajibati wal-nawafil wa tarku al-ma'asi wal-sagha'ir, which is like the previous one, which means to strive to accomplish or to perform the obligations and the recommended deeds, the voluntary deeds. And also strive to avoid sins as well as the minor acts of disobedience. Which is like what we said before in the previous level, but in addition, وَتَرْكُ مَا لَا بَأْسَ بِهِ حَذَرَ مِمَّا بِهِ بَأْسِ. And to stay away from that which there is nothing wrong in it, for fear of falling into that which that has a problem in it or a danger in it. Okay. وهذه هي التقوى التي دارت عليها أقوال السلف. And this is the form of taqwa that the Salaf usually speak about or refer to, the highest level of taqwa. Okay, yeah, Hamza, what did I just said now? What did I say, Jameel? Maybe Jameel was paying more attention. The highest level of taqwa. This is what we care about, right? We always shoot for the highest. Even though sometimes we fall a little short, but we still always shoot for the uppermost. What is the highest level of taqwa? Huh? To do all the obligations or the commands, and to stay away from all the prohibitions, even if they are small. And the obligations, even if they are small, we still do them. And then in addition to that, to do the voluntary deeds. What means voluntary deeds? Huh? It's an easier question. Tell me. No, I want Hamza to tell me of a voluntary deed. Nawafil, recommended things. Tell me. Give me an example. Good. You see, you were paying attention because you are sitting here. MashaAllah. Like going to the funeral, it is not obligatory to go to the funeral. Except if nobody else goes, then somebody has to do it. So then it becomes obligatory. But going to the funeral is a recommended thing. The funeral of a Muslim. That's what you mean, right? Yeah. So going to the funeral or visiting sick person, or what else? Now you want Hamza to give an example. What you do when you pray Fajr prayer? How many rak'at is Fajr prayer, Hamza? And what do you pray before it? Sunnah, is it obligatory? It's not. It's voluntary. It is recommended to do it. When you do it, it adds to your account, balance of good deeds. Right? Any more examples of good deeds that we can do? Mu'az?
Pray.
What?
Pray and Hajj.
Pray and Hajj. That's an odd mixture.
Go to Hajj,
maybe you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you pray in Hajj anyways. You have to pray when you are in Hajj. But maybe you mean going extra Hajj, more than one time. Is that what you meant? Sad. What? Making Umrah. These are all extra allegatory, as they say, deeds. Or super allegatory deeds, which means deeds that are not required, they are voluntary, but people who have taqwa will do them all. They try to do, they are greedy. A person with taqwa is greedy. What does it mean? He likes to eat a lot? He likes to get a lot of money in his pockets? A lot of candy? What else? What does it mean, greedy? Yes. He wants to do lots of good deeds. Like once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, and I don't now remember the full hadith, the detail of the hadith, but you probably have heard it many times and it's authentic. He said, which one among you today visited a sick person? And Abu Bakr said, I did. He said, who among you is fasting today? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I did. He said, who among you went in a funeral today? And Abu Bakr said, I did. And he asked two more questions. So I asked a total of about five questions. And every time, who paid charity, etc., Abu Bakr said, I. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never would these things gather ما اجتمعت هذه الخصال في مؤمن في مسلم في يوم إلا دخل الجنة. Never would these deeds gather together in one believer in one day, but he will enter Jannah. Are these voluntary deeds or obligatory deeds, Ya Mu'az? The ones that we just mentioned. Naam, Ya Hamza. You have to pay attention. Every time I see somebody not paying attention, I will ask him a question. Hamza. Are these voluntary deeds that Abu Bakr did, or are they obligatory deeds? Are they... Huh? Huh? Voluntary, which means he was not required to do them, but he did them to get more rewards, right? So that is what I mean by being greedy, that whenever we have chance to do something good, do it. Instead of wasting the time in nonsense, do something of benefit. Okay, so this is the best, this is the third level of taqwa that we talked about. The highest level of taqwa, the fourth that we mentioned, in addition to this, what would one do? He would avoid things that there is nothing wrong in them for fear that they could lead to something that has some problems in it or that causes some harm. What does it mean? Like something halal, there is nothing wrong in it. For example, I am allowed to eat and eat food is good, but instead of eating little enough to suffice me, I overeat. Then that causes me stomach ache, or even if it doesn't, it makes me lazy and not willing to perform other ibadat and so on. So avoiding that in order which is permissible for fear that it would lead to something that is harmful, then that is the highest level of taqwa. Okay? Now this will probably be explained better in some of the statements from the Salaf. Abu Darda rahimahullah radiyallahu anhu said, تمام التقوى أن يتقي العبد الله حتى يتقيه من مثقال الذرة. He said, the completeness of taqwa, the best form of taqwa, is that a servant, a person would have taqwa of Allah to the extent that he would have taqwa in as much as a grain weight, a weight of a grain, you know, like a grain of rice or a grain of corn or something like that. وَحَتَّى يَتْرُكَ بَعْضَ مَا يَرَى أَنَّهُ حَلَالٌ خَشْيَةَ أَن يَكُونَ حَرَامًا. and so that he would leave off, he will not do some things that are halal, some of the halal things, fearing that it would lead to haram. Al-Hasan said, Al-Hasan al-Basri that is, rahimahullah said, ما زالت التقوى بالمتقين حتى تركوا كثيرا من الحلال مخافة الحرام. Which means the taqwa continued to impose things over those who have taqwa until they left off, or until they leave off some of the halal for fear that, fearing to fall into haram. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah said, إِنَّمَا سُمُّوا مُتَّقِينَ لِأَنَّهُمْ مُتَّقَوْا مَا لَا يُتَّقَى. He said they were only named muttaqeen, people of taqwa, those who have taqwa. Why have they been called people of taqwa? Because they have left off things that are not usually avoided. Which means the other people do not usually consider that something important to avoid. Still, they avoided it. موسى بن أعين said, المتقون تنزهوا عن أشياء من الحلال مخافة أن يقعوا في الحرام. تنزهوا عن أشياء من الحلال مخافة أن يقعوا في الحرام, which means those who have taqwa, they refrain from committing some of the permissible things, fearing to fall into haram. Same meaning as before. ميمون بن مهران رحمه الله said, المتقي أشد محاسبة لنفسه من الشريك الشحيح لشريكه. A person with taqwa is more keen in holding himself accountable than a partner would be, would hold his partner accountable. Which means when somebody has a partner and he's a stingy person, he would come to his partner and he say, show me, let me see the account books, what you spent, what did you buy, why is there five pennies discrepancy in the books, and so on. So that is how a stingy partner would be with his partner. But a person with taqwa would be like that with himself, which means he will tell himself, why did I do this today? Why didn't I do a little more? Why didn't I have good concentration in my prayer? Why did not I put my heart into my prayer? Why didn't I listen to my parents? Why did I push this brother? Why did I backbite that brother? Why did I do this? Why didn't I do that? Why, etc. So he would hold himself accountable for little and big things. Ibn Mas'ud rahimahu radiyallahu anhu said, اتقوا الله حق تقاته أن يطاع فلا يعصى ويذكر فلا ينسى ويشكر فلا يكفر. Which means اتقوا الله حق تقاته, have the right taqwa of Allah, means that he should be obeyed so that he would not, to the extent that he would not be disobeyed, and he should be remembered to the extent that he would never be forgotten, and he would be shown gratitude to the extent that one would never be ungrateful to him. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was asked, what is taqwa? And he said to the questioner, he said, هل أخذت طريقا ذا شوك? Well, did you ever walk in a road which has thorns in it? قال نعم. He said, yes. قال كيف صنعت? He said, what did you do in that case? قال إذا رأيت الشوك عزلت عنه أو جاوزته أو قصرت عنه. Which means when I see thorn, I will either avoid it, move away from it, or try to step over it so that it doesn't come onto my feet and shoes, or go back, stay away from it, take a different way. So do something to stay away from the thorn, in other words. قال ذلك التقوى. He said, this is what taqwa is. Taqwa is to do everything possible to avoid the thorn that is in our Sirat al-Mustaqim, that may come into our Sirat al-Mustaqim, or that if we drift from Sirat al-Mustaqim, we'll get into it. Ibn al-Mu'tamir. Ibn al-Mu'tamir said the following lines of poetry. He said, and this is probably taken from the statement of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى وَاصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى. He said, leave off sins, small or big, and this is taqwa. Taqwa means taqwa. خلي الذنوب صغيرها وكبيرها فهو التقى واصنع كماش فوق أرض الشوك يحذر ما يرى. And do like a person walking over a thorny road and trying to avoid what he sees of thorns, that is. لا تحقرن صغيرة إن الجبال من الحصى. And do not belittle a small sin. Do not say this is too small, it will not harm or do any it will not hurt me. No, because mountains are made up of little pebbles. So if you put pebbles on top of pebbles, they will make a mountain. So don't say this is a small sin, that's a small sin. It could really lead to major sins. Bakr ibn Khunais said, and this is what I mentioned earlier, that we will be talking about it in a little bit. كيف تكون متقيا كيف يكون متقيا من لا يدري ما يتقي. How can a person have taqwa when he does not know what he is supposed to have taqwa of, what he is supposed to avoid? Like you have a little baby and you put him next to fire, what will he do? Will he stay away from the fire? No, unless he probably learned a lesson before that of how harmful it is. But if he is very new to that, he will go and try to grab it or touch it. Right? He will burn his hands. Why? Because he does not know that he is supposed to avoid the fire. And this is true about us, about any person. That if we do not know how harmful is this sin, we will not try to avoid it. If we do not realize how much anger from Allah it will bring us and how much punishment is in it, we will not avoid it. So one has to know the danger and the harm in the things that he should have taqwa of. And that knowledge is both the shara'i knowledge and the knowledge in the heart, which means he has to have the strong iman in regard to the harm of those acts of disobedience. الإمام أحمد. So فأصل التقوى أن يعلم العبد ما يتقي ثم يتقي. So the origin of taqwa is that the servant, the person, should know what he is supposed to avoid and then avoid it. This is what taqwa is. الإمام أحمد رحمه الله said, التقوى هو ترك ما تهوى لما تخشى. التقوى هو ترك ما تهوى لما تخشى. And أبو العتاهية has a beautiful poem in which he uses this statement from Imam Ahmad. فَكَّرْتُ فِي الدِّيَ What is it? فَكَّرْتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتِهَا فَتَرَكْتُ مَا أَهْوَى لِمَا أَخْشَى. But it's a long poem. This is one line of it. I thought about the dunya. No, I think he says فَكَّرْتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَضُرَّتِهَا. وضرتها فتركت ما أهوى لما أخشى. Which means I thought about the dunya and its co-wife, and that made me فتركت. It made me leave what I desire for the sake of what I fear. What is the co-wife of the dunya? Hereafter. That's what he means. The dhurra of the second life. Because there are two lives that we are living. And the co-wife is the better of the two lives. So he says, I thought about this life and the other life, and that made me leave off what I desire for the sake of what I fear, which means because of what I fear of punishment, I left what I desire. So that's what Imam Ahmad is saying. He's saying, At-taqwa hiya tarku ma tahwa lima takhsha. Taqwa is to leave off what you desire for that which you fear, because of what you fear. Waqeel, in regard to taqwa also, it is Al-khawfu min al-jaleel wal-rida bil-tanzeel wal-istadadu liyawm al-raheel. It is to fear the al-jaleel, the most glorious one, wal-rida bil-tanzeel, and to be satisfied and pleased with the revelation. Allah, that's how they have it. Maybe al-amal bil-tanzeel, it also works too. It works too. Al-amal bil-tanzeel means to act upon the revelation, which means to abide by it, and al-istadad al-yawm al-raheel, and to be ready for the day of departure. Now, this is the introduction to the subject of taqwa, and I'll stop here, inshallah, with the hope that we can get later on at some other lecture to, because I didn't give any practical steps for what to do to achieve taqwa. So we need that more, but before that, we needed this introduction to understand the importance of taqwa. So if we have chance on a future talk, inshallah, maybe we can cover some more of this. Are there books? Yeah, there are, of course there are. I don't know. Allahu Akbar.
Anybody with a question?
Anyway, Kamal. Maybe we can sit now.
I'm looking to find a category out of those three categories, in my case, in the four categories, and other, but taqwa. If you don't fit in all those categories, then how do you.
Yeah, you better fit in one of these two. Okay, let me draw a drawing to make you understand these four. Did we finish the whole tape? Are we doing now? Another one now? Okay, no. I'm just trying to make sure that I don't mess up your recording. Okay, let's draw this. I don't know, I have some figure in mind. Let me see if I can put it on paper. Okay, and now let's say this is level one. Let's call it level four here. Level three. Level two. And level one. So we have these four levels of taqwa. Okay, and now here. Let's say. Doing obligations and avoiding major sins. Okay? Doing obligations and avoiding major sins. And then the other thing is doing voluntary deeds and avoiding all sins, including the minor sins. The third level, or the third thing is avoiding halal things that are feared of leading to haram. And there is, before all of that, I need to add one more column here. Four, three, two, one. And this one, believing in Allah and His Messenger. Okay? So these are the things that we talked about. And for the lowest level, he only fulfilled this, right? And all of the other levels fulfill it. Oh, sorry, this one. He doesn't fulfill this. The second level fulfills this, and all other levels fulfill it. The third level fulfills this and this, and the fourth level fulfills this only.
Can you say so?
Huh?
Can you say what you're saying to people
that can't? Oh, that's right. Okay. That's a quick way. You know, because of scanners and things, we are used to doing that. Anyways, what I'm saying is that I made here a table of four columns and four rows. And then there are titles on each column and each row. And the columns of the rows are: first one, believing in Allah and His Messenger. The second one, doing the obligations and avoiding the major sins. The third one, doing voluntary deeds and avoiding all sins, including the minor sins. And the fourth column is avoiding halal things that are feared of leading to haram. And then the four columns are number four, which means the fourth level of taqwa, the best one, and under it is number three, under it is number two, under it is number one. So for number one, we put check marks in each, in this table, in the boxes that correspond to the level and what is fulfilled in that level. So for the first level, he only fulfills the first column, which is believing in Allah and His Messenger. And this is also fulfilled by all others, all other levels. But for the first, he only fulfills this, nothing else. For the second level, he fulfills this, plus he does the obligations and avoids the major sins. The third level, and all above him also fulfills that. Third level, in addition to that, he does voluntary deeds and avoids all sins. And the best level, he fulfills all four of the columns. Okay, is that?
My question is, like, if an individual found himself on level three, and then he looked time passed and find himself on the actual level two, is that a matter of the man of peace and defeating, or?
Yeah, definitely. When a person goes down from level 2 to level 1, or from level 1 to from level 3 to level 2, that means that his iman is decreasing and he has to work hard. We should always remain in our level or work to improve, to go up to this level. And these are, you should realize that these are major categories. It doesn't mean that the person in level 4, all people in level 4, will be fulfilling all of these 100%. But they will be doing better than others in fulfilling this. So we should strive to be here, and also to keep striving to improve. Alhamdulillah. Even your level, to try to improve all the time instead of going down. So that's what we need to strive for. And if we find weakness, that means that there is a decrease in iman, and we have to work on solving this problem. There is actually a lecture about this tomorrow, I think. But instead, maybe we can turn it into a completion of the, because it's related to this, into the practical step for taqwa, inshallah, for achieving taqwa. But we have to work on the, and they are the same actually, increasing our iman or safeguarding our iman is the same as maintaining our taqwa. So actually it will be one and the same subject but with a different title. But inshallah, yeah, we have to work hard on this, knowing what steps to take to maintain the fear of Allah and the love of Allah and the other requirements that would help us stay at the correct level of taqwa.
I was with Sheikh Mustafa Jibril one time, and he mentioned about the Maqam An-Nar.
Maqam what?
The place of the hellfire. And he said that the ayah in Quran or the mention in the Sharia about the seven earths and the seven heavens, that the seven heavens, some of the Mufassirin said that it refers to seven levels in the earth, under the outer, and that the Nar is at the center or the bottom of that.
The seven earths, you mean?
The seven earths. And you didn't give a lot of a dilla for this, even though myself I can think of perhaps some indirect dilla. Do you know if this tafsir is correct, and if so, some direct dilla for that, if you could mention that for us?
No, I know that the ulama differ about this. There's no unanimous opinion as to what are al-ardin al-saba, or the seven earths. Even though they are mentioned in some of the ahadith, authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so there are definitely seven earths. But what are they? Some of the modern scholars said that these are planets, seven planets, or something like that. But I don't think we have any clear idea as to what they are. And the best would be to say what some of the ulama, I heard them say, that it is a matter of ghaib, that we just take it as it is without trying to get deeper into it, because there's nothing to indicate for us what it means. So just take it as a ghaibi matter, like when we talk about the seven heavens. Seven heavens, where are they? Does it mean that they are on top of the skies, or they are the galaxies in the universe, or what are they? They are not galaxies, they are above everything for sure. But where are they, and are we supposed to travel in a certain direction to reach the first heaven, or what it is? It's something from ghaib, it is a different world than the world that we are living in. And different laws apply to it. We do not see everything that Allah created. We are not equipped to see everything that Allah created. And we do not know if the factors of distance and space and time apply to them like they apply to our world. So the best thing is to just remain silent and say Allahu A'lam where they are, but they definitely are the seven heavens, things above everything. So the seven earths are things under us or under everything, and especially as you go deeper, the seventh earth is the lowermost. Allahu A'lam.
Part of the third level is avoided halal food, the third is avoided to haram. Can you give us some examples?
I gave example about eating. I said some people would avoid eating halal food because that would lead them to doing haram things. Or someone would avoid, for example, sitting to talk, just for the meal of talk with some of his friends, because that will probably prevent him from learning some useful knowledge or from going to do some important acts of worship and things like that. So even though it is something halal, but it's preventing him from doing something which is better and more important for him.
draw a line between that and going to extremes. Like some people,
electricity is haram. The Prophet never used electricity. I don't want to use something that the kuffar use. Where do you draw the line between extreme and avoiding something to...
The line is drawn by saying that it is, if it's something that leads to haram. If the halal, if something is agreed to be mubah, permissible, then let's see, not everything permissible we are supposed to do. Or doing it will be of benefit for us. So we see if it is of benefit, we do it. If it is of harm, we do not do it. If it is not, it's not clear what's of benefit or harm, then we have to use our judgment and see whether it's better for us to do this or something else in this place.
Because I know
a brother who does not talk to anybody. I mean, he's not here right now. He doesn't talk to anybody just because he's fearing that he will get involved in lagu and he will get involved in backbiting. So he does not even involve himself in a conversation with his brothers. He always comes to pray and then leaves the masjid immediately.
Yeah, but by doing that, he is doing some prohibited things. But he is violating.